We've been talking about meditation on God's word, and we'll continue along those lines, but I think the Lord is going to have us center on some other areas of his word. Genesis 1:26, let's go there. God said, let us make man in our own image and after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them and said unto them, the man he had created. He says, God blessed them and defined what the operation of man and how man was supposed to live on the earth by declaring certain words. The same way God said, let there be light, and there was light. God said, man, I've created you, and he says these words are the words that will form the outline of your existence and operation on the earth. He says, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. He says, the words, like I said, light be, and light was. Like I said, let the waters be, and the waters were. Like I said, let the lights, let things, and I created everything. Man, what I said regarding you is be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over everything that creepeth upon the earth. Fruitfulness, multiplication and dominion was the operation and what God spoke into man at creation. That's what he had. So fruitfulness, multiplication and dominion was what man was created for. Replenishing the earth and subduing it. That was what man was created for. The earth was not created to dominate man. Material things were not created to dominate man. Man was created to dominate and rule the earth. Everything was placed under his dominion, and fruitfulness, multiplication was a natural response and natural character that was put into man when God created man. And he says in chapter 2, he says, and God formed man, 7, of the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. The Aramaic says, man became another speaking spirit like God. He says, the way the fruitfulness, the multiplication, and the dominion will be exercised on the earth is through the same way I exercise dominion and created things by speaking words. It says, now I have created you and I want you to exercise this dominion and bring everything under subjection by the use of your words. The same way I use my words. So I created man and man became another speaking spirit. With the use of words, I want you to exercise this dominion over all the earth. And that's what God did. And Satan knew this, and he knew Satan has no creative power. Angels do not create by words. Satan has no creative power. So, Satan usurped man's authority. And when man fell, and he gave the dominion to Satan. But even then, it didn't mean he didn't have creative power in his words. So what he did was that he deceived man and used that authority to make men begin to speak words that set the entire course of nature on fire. Let me tell you something today. We're talking about meditation on the word of God. Where God is taking us to is dominion as the triumphant church. The reason why is because there is a time now to reverse everything the enemy has stolen on the earth. It's a time now for the church to begin to arise and begin to take back what the devil has stolen on the earth. And we'll see how God plans this agenda. We'll see how God plans this agenda. We'll see from the scriptures that your first submission after you are born again and filled with the Spirit, the first assignment is to submit your life to God by giving him your tongue as the rudder. That's the first assignment. Is to submit your life to God by giving him your tongue as the rudder. Because this is how the enemy, everything you see today is a product of words. Evil words or good words. He said the wicked man sits down, shuts his eyes, and moves his lips to bring evil to pass. Every evil you see is a product of not Satan's word. No, he doesn't have creative power. He influenced men who were under his jurisdiction to release words, and he set the entire course of nature on fire of hell. God now has brought Jesus Christ, and we are now saved. The Holy Ghost, the first thing he took over was the tongue of men. He said, they appeared unto them cloven tongues as of fire, and it came upon them, and they began to speak with other tongues. He took hold of their tongue and said, it's time to reverse this effect that the enemy has had. Let's understand this. So we're going to that place of dominion, and we understand that your tongue is not just like that. It's not just for you to talk anyhow. This is very important. This is very serious. We're in a process of warfare, and the warfare is a war of words. There are words that have been transferred. There are voices in the realm of the spirit, and those voices are a product of words released by spiritual beings. And you have to take your place and begin to understand how the spirit realm works. You have to. It's a war of words. It's a war of words. It's a planet of words, and words have been spoken. There are many voices in here. None of them without significance. Many voices. Many voices directing the course of men's lives. People are projecting voices into men's lives, causing them to begin to move in certain directions. Now the church has to rise up and begin to project that voice. And then the angels begin to respond and begin to move things for the kingdom of God on the earth. We have to understand this. This is so important. We have to understand this. And we'll go into the scriptures and see. I'll read something Copeland said here, which is very important. Man was, when he even fell, he still had that power in his mouth. God gave him, he didn't take it away. But instead of that, he perverted it, Satan perverted it, and started using it for evil. The power of God's word is released even more in our lives, is realized even more in our lives, when we realize the power of our own words. The only reason why we have the power, the right, and the privilege as human beings in this earth, that is the human race, to speak words, is because God had given us a godly privilege and authority to choose and speak them. He says, I transfer this thing. This is so important. I want you to follow this message. This message will transform your life. It will transform your environment. He says he gave man the privilege, a godly privilege, to choose and to speak words. That's why he says, look, I set before you life and death. Today, choose life, that you and your seed, and understanding of this thing, we're talking about transgenerational things, will live. And he says, how do you choose life? He says, life and death are in the power of the tongue, and those that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Meaning, those that understand this. Another translation said, life and death are in the hand of the tongue. And those that understand this shall eat the fruit thereof. So let's understand this. Let's begin to settle down in this and see what God's plan is. Let's go to James. Chapter 3. This is one of the most vital things. Listen, the will of God can be stopped on the earth if a man speaks wrongly. I'll say it again. The will of God, the perfect will of God, can be stopped if a man speaks wrongly in your life. If you speak wrongly. There was a woman, God called, they called Hagin to pray for a woman. He said, as he was about to pray for her, God said, stop. He said, I cannot reverse this. A Christian. He said, words have been spoken. Too many words have been spoken. It is too late now. They cannot be reversed. Her spirit is better with me. This is so crucial. And today we'll see, we'll not allow Satan to deceive us anymore. James. Chapter 3. It says there, my brethren, be not many masters, knowing that ye shall receive the greater condemnation. For in many things we offend all. If a man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man and able to bridle his whole body. Behold, we put bits in a horse's mouths that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. He said, behold also the sheep, which though they be so great, are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor lists. What Jesus is saying here, if you have a horse, and the horse, you want to go from here to maybe Bromley. And the horse is saying, I want to go to London Bridge, to the opposite ends. And you climb on the horse, the owner of the horse, and you start riding. And the horse says, I want to go to Bromley, but you want to go to London Bridge. And the horse is going with his own brain, going. He's saying that if you do not do anything about it, the horse will carry you to Bromley if you just let it go. He's saying, what you should do, you put that bit and use the bridle to pull it and turn it in the direction you want to go. If not, it will keep on going to Bromley. You cannot be passive about it. It will carry you to Bromley if you do not turn it and pull the bridle and cause that bit to direct that horse back to where you are going. So also the tongue is. If you allow your life go, it will just go with the wind. You have to take ownership of what God has given you and let God use the words he has given you to direct you to the place of destiny he has designed for you. It's an active process. It's not a passive process. You can't just stand and say, oh, God. No, God shows you the word, the direction of your life. You have to be active about it. You take ownership. You hold the reins of that horse. You turn the mouth and you drive it to London Bridge because that's where God has told you is the destination. Let's understand that. So it's an active process. It says, even if the wind is so great, the ship is so great, it's tossed around, the answer and the final outcome is the helm. If the man leaves it, the wind will blow it up and down if he doesn't take ownership of that ship with the helm and turn it in the direction it should go. So even so, so what God does really in practice is that he gives you the word. He gives you the direction for your life. You see, this thing is so serious. I will show you some scripture. He gives you the direction for your life. So the first thing, we've said it over and over again, is the place of surrender. You have to come to the place and understand the high priestly ministry of Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, who bought you with his own blood. In fact, he went to the depths of hell and paid the full price for your emancipation. His love was so much that if you were the only one on earth, he would have done it. I saw myself in Christ, even at Calvary, when he was wounded and he was beaten. I saw myself in him when he went to hell. I saw myself in him when he rose again. He says, the exceeding greatness of that power which he wrought in Christ when he raised him up from the dead, that didn't stop there. He set him, he took him through even all the realms and put him at his own right hand in the heavenly places beside the Father. You were in there, that same power is resident inside you, and it has lifted you to that same place of authority in Christ. I saw myself in him when he was wounded and when he said, Father, forgive them. He says, because I saw myself in him, nobody can offend me. That same love has been shed abroad in my heart. So I want you to understand that this thing is so strong. Let's go there. He said, and the tongue is a little member. It boasts great things. Behold, how great a fire, a matter, a little fire kindles. So if you light a match, a little match, a spark, can set the entire London on fire. If it comes in contact with the right environment. A little match. He's saying, all the evil you see on the earth today, all the wickedness is a product of the words of men. The wickedness. Even so, the tongue is a fire. You agree. But take a catalog of all the words you speak. Take a catalog. You will see that, oh my God, am I saying these things? No. Take a catalog of every single word that comes out of your mouth. He says, this thing is very serious. He says, every idle word or inoperative word that men speak, they will give account on the day of judgment. Words are not a joke. I was reading the life of Jesus. His words were measured. His words were exact. His words were timed. His words were not wasted. Even when he was joking, his words were exact. He knew that words, how forcible are right words. Right words have a force that can change the shape of anything. Right words designed, they can change the molecular structure of substances when you use the right words. You understood that? So he didn't play with words. He didn't play with words. Words are so important. Now let's go on here. It says, and the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity, so is the tongue among our members. And it defiles the whole body and set it on fire, the course of nature, and it is set on the fire of hell. Jesus says, look, it's not what comes out of a man's word that defiles him. It's not what goes into a man's mouth that defiles him. It's what comes out of his mouth. So when it comes out of his mouth, that thing has the power to defile his entire life. So ladies and gentlemen, I submit to you today that the product of your life today is a product of the words you've been speaking. Accept or don't accept. It's a product of the words you have been speaking. It's a product of the words you have been speaking. Or the words that people have spoken over you and you've received it by repeating it. It says, but the tongue, it can no man tame. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and curse we men who are made after the similitude of God. God is saying here, if you go to Acts, it says, when the day of Pentecost came, it says that was the reconnection. I want you to take that connection from hell, from the source, from Satan, and I reconnected it back when you got born again, and the fire of the Holy Ghost came, and I reconnected it back to the source, which is the fire from above. That tongue is now lit from like the fire from above and not the fire from hell. Understand this? So God is saying, now I want to begin to reverse, but I need your tongue to reverse it. I need your tongue to reverse it. And the process, that's what we're talking about, meditation. In Psalm 39, it says, as I was meditating in my private room, it says the fire began to burn. The fire began to burn, and when it got unbearable, I spoke those words, and those words went to have an effect on the earth. We're talking about establishing the kingdom. That's why we've gone through this process of meditation. Please, brethren, practice this truth. I beg you, practice this truth, this truth will transform you and will begin to create a force field of the supernatural around you as a person and begin to spread your influence and influence of the kingdom of God wherever you are on the earth. There have been men that enter a particular place and because of their presence, the demonic spirits in the environment in an entire town begin to cry. We know this man has landed at the airport. This is a product of meditation in God's word and praying in the spirit till they had a breakthrough and they began to speak words. Listen to me, guys. This world is spiritual. It's deep. This guy was flying on an aircraft and he got to a point. The fuel finished. He was learning. His plane started drifting. He said, what shall I do? He said, he put it, raised the plane, the altitude, and was flying. He said he was flying. That fear took over him. He said, Lord, is it, am I going to die? There was no petrol. They said, he called those guys at the control tower. They said, you have entered from America, you have entered the border of Mexico. He said he began to pray in the spirit. He said he felt the spirit of death had enclosed him in that place. He said he prayed in the spirit that the prayer became intense. The prayer became intense. He said he prayed in the spirit, was flying, and he had a breakthrough in the spirit and peace suddenly came. He said the spirit of death was dislodged. As soon as that spirit was dislodged, he said he just saw a landing pad. The Holy Ghost said land on that pad and he landed safely. Listen, things are happening that are not the perfect will of God because we haven't stayed there to break through in the spirit realm and receive what God has planned. See, this thing is spiritual. If he had not broken through in the spirit and had crashed the plane, would have said, oh, the Lord is the... No, no. There are forces there. There are forces out there. We need to wake up and know that there are forces there. But we have authority over those forces. It's who will stay there and persevere in prayer. And we'll talk about the practice, but let me just lay this foundation of this. So he converts us back. Let's go to Isaiah. I won't be long here. Isaiah. The church has been given the authority. It says the same spirit that raised up Christ from the dead, the exceeding greatness of his power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead, and you had he quickened with him. Isaiah chapter 6. It's a warfare, guys. And we're soldiers enlisted in the army. He's counting on us because he's going to do it. And the primary instrument is the word of God upon the lips of a man, coming from the spirit of a man through the process of meditation. We've talked about, I won't go back to meditation. Now I'm going to focus on actually declaring the outcome. There are two different things. The difference between meditation on God's word and prophesying to the situation. There's a change that happens. But during the process of meditation, you can actually practice it at the same time. You don't have to wait for all the light to come before you declare. You declare based on the light you have. I'll show it. You declare based on the light you have. I'll explain it in details. But let's go here. Isaiah chapter 6. It says, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims, each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face, with twain he covered his feet, with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another, saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, woe is me, for I am undone. Why am I undone? Because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King of glory. He says, now the purification will come. He said, then flew one of the seraphims unto me, saying, with a live coal in his hand, which he had taken from the tongues from off the altar. God wants to purify our tongues. He says, and he said, and he laid it upon my mouth and said, lo, this has touched your lips, and thine iniquity has been taken away, and thy sin has been purged. I said, the source of iniquity and sin is the tongue. Once you begin to straighten your tongue out, you will find out that your whole life and your whole being begins to become transformed, even in that direction. God was telling me that in Mark 11:23, he said, Hagin was talking about it. He said, he mentioned saying three times and believing once, because the emphasis is insane, because you eventually believe what you keep on saying. The emphasis is insane. He says, people come to me to pray. They pray. They spend hours in prayer. They make their request known unto God. And as soon as they step out of that place, they say contrary things. You have come to pray and you say, by stripes, Father, I thank you because I'm healed, or I thank you because my needs are met. You have provided this opportunity to meet my financial needs, and I receive it in Jesus' name. And they leave the place. They spend 3 hours in prayer, groaning, breaking through in prayer, and they leave the place. Someone asks them, hey, that rent, someone goes, yeah, I'm still looking. For 3 hours, they keep on saying the wrong things. See, the prayer will not work. It will not work. The same thing with healing. You spend the rest of the time, the enemy is tricking, is deceiving. That's deception. They say the wrong things. They say the wrong things. He says, by your words, you shall be justified. And by your words, you shall be condemned. They're releasing, they've negated the whole prayer. It's so important. It's so important. Hagin said, where am I missing it? Where am I missing it? He got healed on the bed of sickness. Then all of a sudden, he started getting weaker. When he's walking, he was getting weaker. He said, Lord, where am I missing it? God is never wrong. Let me tell you something. Don't exalt the righteousness of a man, any man, no matter who he is, to the righteousness of the word of God. Don't exalt it. If a man didn't get the result, don't say he did everything possible. Never say that. No man can exalt himself up to the righteousness of God. God's word is alone and is righteous and always works. If a man missed it, it's always on the receiving end. You don't know the details. Say, they believed, but it didn't happen. No, you don't know the details. You're trying to say that God's word doesn't work. Never do that. If you reach out for something, you don't get it, come back and say, Lord, show me where I missed it. Never, never. Because that's where the enemy comes in. Once you begin to do that, your heart begins to derail. Your heart begins to derail. And you begin to enter into a different region. Never. Come back and say, Lord, I missed it somewhere. Where did I miss it? God's word never fails. God's ways are perfect. God's ways are what is holding the universe today. All the stars, all the constellations, all the sun, everything. The word is what created them, and the world is holding them, and there's been in perfect order for generations. How can you, a man, now say you did the word and it didn't work, and you're now blaming God? It is not possible. God always works. God's word always works. Humble yourself and go back to the receiving end. Where did I miss it? Or where am I going wrong? Or what have I not done that I should do? Say, Lord, where am I missing it? Lord, where am I missing it? Lord, show me where am I missing it? He said, the problem is I healed you from the bed of sickness. But when you are walking on the road and they look at you, say, you are looking so weak. Because you had just been healed, so it was emaciated. So you're looking really tired. He said, yes, I'm feeling tired. He said, that's what? You've confessed it. He said, can I give you a lift? He said, okay, yes. Yes, I'm really tired. He said, that's where you're missing it. It's simple, but it's profound. See, guys, it's simple, but it's profound. He said, that is where you are missing it. That is where you're missing it. So he said, oh God, yes, I see it. So when they ask him, he said, I'm fine. I'm strong. I'm well. People will come and say, that money you're looking for, yeah, well, I have it in Jesus' name. I've received it, it's coming on its way. You still look, I've received it and it's on its way. That child is still, no, I've received it and it's on its way. You have to cooperate with the word of God. The words you speak when you leave the place of prayer are 100 times more important than what you did in your closet. When you begin to interact with the world, the enemy will come and tempt you through people and say, maintain that in the presence of God, maintain that in the presence of men, maintain the same confession. Don't be ashamed. Don't be ashamed. He says, if you are ashamed of me before men, I will be ashamed of you before my Father in heaven. People are ashamed to confess what God has said. They want to be politically correct. Someone says something in your environment that contradicts what God has told you in your closet, and you're reaching out for something, you keep quiet. You answer back. Jesus never kept quiet. Jesus answered back. Jesus told them, he taught them, go and read the scriptures, take all the red letters and begin to read. Jesus answered back. They came to Jesus and said, Jairus, your daughter is dead. Jesus turned to him, you keep quiet, Jairus. He says, don't be afraid, only believe. They came to meet him and said, Lazarus is dead. He said, no, this sickness is not unto death, but that the glory of God might be made manifest. They come to you, the bill comes to you and say, they can't pay you. You can't pay this bill. You say, no, my God supplies all my need according to his riches and glory. You answer back, we are too quiet. You answer back. Jesus answered back. Listen, you answer back. That is where the thing is. He never kept quiet. Go and read it. He was quick to answer. Everything that came, he answered back. He knew this was spiritual warfare, a warfare of words. If you don't answer back, you'll be swallowed up. It is the words. It is your voice. So he said, and I began to walk. And they came to say, you're looking tired. He says, no, I'm strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. He is the strength of my life. I am full of life and energy. And you begin to walk. Say, when he's saying it, his legs are. He said, as it goes halfway, by the time it gets to half the mark, liquid fire from heaven fills and saturates him. He says, strength comes from nowhere, and he doesn't know how it comes, and he begins to walk like someone who is so strong. And he does the work. He said, every single person that came to do that task, strong muscle built, mighty men, muscle men, they all left. They were felling trees, heavy. They were carrying heavy stuff. They all left. He was the only one left. A boy who has just been healed, who was so emaciated, it was the product of the word of God. Let me tell you guys, don't keep quiet. If you hold your peace, you'll be swallowed up. I like what Bishop Oyedepo said. He said, I wake up in the morning and I begin to say certain words because I don't know what the man is cooking in the village. He said, I don't know what they're saying. He said, so me too, I wake up and begin to say my own in my closet. I'm going to speak certain words that no weapon formed against me shall prosper. Any tongue that you begin to speak your own words as God shows you in the scriptures. It's so crucial. That's what Jesus emphasized it. He says, when you have prayed, he said, believe you receive and you shall have it. How do you have it? He said, you say, and you say to the mountain. You say to the mountain, when you've established the will of God, you see, this thing, there are two realms. We've talked about, he has taken you from the authority of Satan, and you're now in the kingdom of God. In Isaiah, he says there, my covenant is this, my spirit is upon you, and my words in your mouth. That is where it's my spirit upon you, and my words in your mouth. That is the covenant. My spirit upon you, and my words in your mouth. My spirit upon you, and my words in your mouth. He says, the way it is transferred, the words that I speak are spirit and their life. That's how it's transferred. That's how you release authority on the earth. Don't keep quiet. Don't keep quiet. You see infirmity in your body? You can do other things, but don't keep quiet. Goliath came to David. He got the stones, he got the sling, but the words were going with it. The Goliath challenged him. Those guys kept quiet. They heard so much. They have been oppressed so much that their fear had filled them because they didn't respond with words. He came out day and night. He was obeying the scriptures. It says he came out day and night to threaten them. And they heard it so much for 40 days that their hearts failed them. They were not responding. The bill was coming every day in the post. You are in debt. It was coming every day, you are owing. Or the letter is coming every day. You have this. And people are going back to repeat it, that I have this. They're going back to repeat it. I have this. And you take the thought by saying it. Satan can put thoughts and can flash things in your environment, but you don't take it except you say it. Because anything you say out of your lips enters into your spirit. Let's understand this. There's no playing with words. No. When I saw this, I said, Lord, he said, go and look at the life of my son. Jesus says, I have one commandment from God. What is that commandment? What I should speak and what I should say. And I know that this commandment opens me up to life eternal. Don't be afraid. You're looking, because of man, you are embarrassed. And they're saying their own. And you're ashamed to say your own. One told one guy to me, he said, talk of the devil. I said, I am a saint of God. If you can say that, I'll say it to yourself. You mustn't allow any word spoken against you that contradicts what God has shown you go unanswered. You mustn't. God holds you responsible for that. Because he doesn't have creative power. I want you to understand this. He's banking on you to speak what he's saying. He has no creative power. The other one, God showed me. He said, you now begin to create sparks by yourself. In Isaiah. He said, you can create sparks. That means generating words by yourself, not what I showed you. He said, what you have sorrow. You can create sparks. The sparks, they can work for a while. But I'm talking about the eternal word that he has shown you. Giving it voice. And I'll show you practically how you do this. We've talked about meditation. I won't go back to it again. When you sit down in the place of meditation on God's word, I'm not going to be long. I'll soon finish. You sit down with the word. If you go and get the other messages, and you begin to eat it, and you begin to meditate on it, you see, this thing is not long. Peter said, see, look, guys, we're there on the mountain. There was transfiguration. This is how metamorphosis takes place. It used that same word as metamorphosis when he talked about Jesus' experience on the Mount of Transfiguration. He said, we're there on the mountain. We saw him. We heard that voice from glory saying, this is my son in whom I'm well pleased. He said, Jesus was transfigured there while he prayed. Now, he said, now, look, guys, we don't have that experience anymore. We have a more sure word of prophecy. And if we do well to take it to that word has the ability to take us through that same experience that Jesus had on the mountain. We can sit with the word and become transfigured literally. And how does that happen? We talked about meditation. You sit down with it. I mean the mortar. I say, guys, if you practice this, I tell you, if you practice this, God will not allow me to share what happened, but if you practice this, the Holy Ghost will take you to places that you never thought of. You begin to see things in the spirit. You begin to see, experience things in the spirit. You will see yourself walking with Jesus on the earth when he was walking. You will see yourself sitting with Jesus at the right hand of the Father. You will see things in the realm of the spirit. The Holy Spirit will be flashing pictures to you of your true dominion. It is so deep. It is so profound. You begin to walk. When you come out of that place, you know something has happened inside me. People will say, what is this about you that has changed? But when you sit down, I begin to eat the word. I said, you sit there and begin to mutter it. Then you spend time praying in the Holy Ghost. You mutter it. You spend time praying in the Holy Ghost. You stay there in that place. So you stay there with this more sure word of prophecy until the day dawns and the day star arises in your heart. When you break through in the spirit with that light, what happens that you begin to prophesy. And when you begin to speak, it will be like an uncontrollable river coming from your spirit outside against that circumstance in a measure. You will find a breakthrough in a measure. See, you can do these things in stages. So let me tell you how it is. It's like loading a gun with bullets when you meditate. And when you confess, it's by releasing that gun at the circumstance. So the amount of bullets you have in that gun is the amount of effect it will have on the obstacle. So you sit down in your house and you begin to mutter those scriptures to yourself and pray in the Holy Ghost. You interchange it. You stay there until you have a breakthrough in the spirit. I'm sure we understand what breakthrough is. When you release, then when you do, you begin to open your mouth. And you see, it's different. Meditation and confession is different. Some people say the first stage of meditation is when you actualize the revelation in your spirit. The second phase is when you speak to the mountain directly. It is not that by stripes I'm healed. You say, body be healed. That's what Jesus was practicing on the earth. He had internalized everything. All he came out to do was to express the image of what he has seen. He said, hands, stretch forth your hands. He says, peace be still. You say, money cometh. You call the thing specifically. You address them. That's what confession is. He says, speak to this mountain, be thou removed and cast into the sea. So when you leave that place and you have a breakthrough in the spirit, direct your focus to the mountain in front of you. Those are saying, by stripes I'm healed. No. Body, I speak to you in the name of Jesus. Behold. It's different. There's a change. So just understand that life and death are in the power of the tongue. So when they give you a diagnosis, you don't repeat it. You've taken it. Hagin said, when they come and knock on your door, that comes to knock on your door. Diabetes comes to knock. No, it's not mine. I can be taking my injections, but I'll never repeat it. I don't have it. It's not mine. He took it. How can it be mine? He took it. It's not mine. Another one comes to knock. Say, sorry, it's not mine. I don't open the door by my words. Your words open the door. Jesus says, I stand at the door and knock. Even when he hears my voice, and you open the door to Jesus by your words. You open the door to the enemy by your words. You open the door to sickness by your words. You stand your ground. You say, no, I don't accept you. I'll do everything. I'll be doing my test. I'll take my medication, but not from my mouth. Creflotella said, when he told him he had incurable prostate cancer, he said, I never repeated it. I didn't repeat it for my wife. I didn't repeat that word because it's not for me. And I shut the door. And I knew what to do. Took the word and began to speak it. Began to mutter it. Began to pray in the spirit and mutter it. Began to pray in the spirit and mutter it. I prayed in the spirit and muttered that thing. I prayed in the spirit and muttered it. I broke bread. I pushed that thing until I saw clearly. I knew it was so. I went back to the doctor. When they put the image, they saw the face of Jesus in the ultrasound. The face of Jesus. So who is that man with a beard? My son was, they literally saw the face of Jesus because of the words he was declaring. This thing is serious. There's a boy, I know. They brought reports from his school. They said he was behaving badly. The parents understood this. They sat down. Said, what is the answer? Get the scriptures. They wrote it down. They said, no problem. The school had, they had already stereotyped him. I said, he's a very bad boy. My parents said, okay. They never repeated it. They just said, okay, thank you. They went back for 9 months. They were declaring over him. They said, no, you are a leader. They were declaring scriptures. You are taught of the Lord. Great is your peace. They began to declare it daily. Then they see things. They would go ahead and say, thank you. They would go back and declare it. They would do the necessary thing. They say, no, you don't have to do this. You can do it. They would advise. But they were declaring that thing. They were telling me. They went back. Teacher said, this boy is a role model to most. This is a teacher that didn't know him. Okay. So he's a role model to many of his colleagues. That he's so good. As a role model, he's now one of the prefects. 9 months, transformation. Listen, it works. Dedication. What I would take for you to take from this, don't, please. Watch the words. Who are you connected to? Whose words are you repeating? Whose words are you confirming? Whose words are you affirming? The words Jesus gave to you in the word, or the words the world gave to you, or the words Satan whispered in your ear. whose words are you affirming with every statement you make? Because by your words, you shall be justified, and by your words, you shall be condemned. Let's understand this. Jesus, the Son of God, lived like this. I began to see it in the scripture so clearly how sharp he was when anything came in his environment that contradicted what God was about to say. When he went to Jairus' house, there's no sentiment in this thing. He says, all of you, you see, men are deep. They were weeping and mourning. I mean, how can you explain that? They were weeping and mourning, and he came and said, this daughter is sleeping, and she shall rise again, and they started laughing. How can you change from weeping and mourning to laughing? I don't understand it. So everybody that is mourning around you, you don't need mourners. You don't need mourners. Inside the heart, something else might be going on. They are happy for you to be in that state. I'm telling you, the heart of man is deep. They are happy for you to be in that state. You don't need mourners. You need people that have the solution. Jesus came and said, I am the resurrection. They were laughing. So they were laughing. So she's dead. She's dead. There's no hope. He said he drove them out of the place. So you might need to drive some people out of your life. They're not in sync with the activity of the Spirit in your life in this season. In this season. Unless they're not your friend, you need to drive them out. They are not in sync with the activity of the Spirit in this season in your life. What did Jesus say to Simon Peter? He says, get thee behind me, Satan, for you're an offense unto me. Simon Peter, that just prophesied, he was in sync 1 minute, the next minute he was not in sync. Understand the sensitivity of spiritual things. He didn't take Peter's words lightly. He spoke back. He spoke back. Peter, his friend. Peter had just prophesied. He said, what God has shown me, what you have just said now is not in sync with it. So get behind me, Satan, you are an offense unto me. You are trying to hinder the move of God in my life. I know the power of words, therefore I will speak back against that word. Why did he silence? Why did he cause Zechariah to become dumb? Because he could hinder the move of God. He said, you have to keep your mouth short. You have to keep it short so that the will of God, John the Baptist, will be able to come to the earth. We have bound some of our relatives by the words we have spoken. We have bound some of our friends by the words we have spoken. We have hindered their salvation. It's so powerful. Let's understand this. Let's be deliberate about our words. Let's be intentional about our words. Let's understand in the spirit realm. I'm very conscious of it. I told you the other time. I went to Nigeria. I told them that I will go straight to the venue. I've been saying it for weeks. I will go straight to the venue. When I landed up, I will go straight to the venue. I landed at 5 a.m. Meeting was at 10 a.m. I was at the airport for 5 hours. They held me because I'm saying I will go straight to the venue. So what happened was that the environment, everything was organized to fulfill the word I was speaking. I suffered. God said, you had been saying you go straight to the, you should have reversed the words before you came. I was there for 5 hours. So I understand my words. I understand that my words carry weight. And when you begin to understand the gravity of your words, you begin to become easier for you to believe God's words to you. You must be a man of integrity. That when I say this, I follow it through. Because if you don't do that, if you don't believe those words, how will you believe God's words on your lips? Because the meeting point is what you are saying out of your lips will come to pass. When God's words enters into you and you begin to release it, it becomes your own word. So if you don't believe your own word and you say things and you don't follow it through, you just say things casually. You just say things casually. You say, I'm coming here, I don't go there. I'll give you this, I don't do it. If you don't mean it, don't say it. Be intentional. If you don't intend for what you are saying to come to pass in your life, don't say it. If you don't have what to say, keep quiet. This is how Satan has been robbing the people of their destiny. People are praying and pushing in the spirit. They come out of the prayer closet and begin to fraternize with the world with things they are saying. So small, but profound. If you practice this, you will find out your life begins to turn around in a magnificent way. If you put a watch and weigh the words you are speaking, you will find out you mean have been saying things like this. You will find out you mean I'm talking like this. It's good to have someone to check you. You are saying this. Copeland said he will say some things. Gloria will say, well, you have what you say. He said, okay, I don't want that. You have what you say. If you believed that everything you say comes to pass, would you say some things? You wouldn't. So important. I say, can you come? I say, how is that thing now? I say, pushing. No. You tell me that I have received it
and I shall have it. God has given me. I'm working on it. My faith is working. It doesn't matter if you sound spiritual. Let everybody, they say they're old. So you say you're old. It doesn't matter. Don't be ashamed of the Jesus Christ you serve in front of men. He too, he will not be ashamed of you before his Father. Now, I talk about it. They say, casualty. I say, no. That I'm here and we're finishing at this time because I speak the word of God. I say it. I don't care anymore. I don't have any reputation to protect. Jesus Christ is my only reputation. He's my only inheritance. Men will come and go. Jesus Christ is the only one we serve. Let's understand this. Simple, but profound. Before we go, the other thing I'll just quickly touch about regarding words. He says in Isaiah, in Psalm 51, he says, who are you to take my covenant? We know that everything, how important the tongue is. The process of meditation is the tongue. The process of confession, the tongue has been given to man to exert dominion. The spirit and my words in your mouth, like he said. Now, you cannot use that tongue to begin to slander. You cannot use it. You're polluting the very organ and the very thing that God has given you to create on the earth. You cannot use it to slander, to actually sit in the seat of the scornful, to begin to curse men. You cannot do that. You don't understand the role of your tongue. You don't understand this is a sacred organ. You cannot use it to backbite your brother. You cannot use it for any other means. It's a sacred thing and it's dedicated. I submit my tongue to Jesus and I only say the things that Jesus says and only do the things that Jesus does. It's important. It's important. It's consecration to him. And the first organ is the tongue. It's consecration to him. No matter how he's doing you, it's better to sit down with the person and say, look, this is the issue, than using your tongue. You're polluting it. You are destroying the power of it. And that's Satan's plan. Let's understand this. So you go, I'll tell you a story. Go and read David again. See how he answered Goliath. Read it again, how he came at Goliath. He was doing the things he should do, but behind he was releasing those words. Goliath spoke to him. He said, today, he said his own. So you to say your own, I will give your body to the fowls of the air. He sold him back. He answered him back. Now, the bills are coming. They are speaking. You speak back. When it comes, you look at it. It speaks to you. Minus something, something. You say, you are paid in full in the name of Jesus. You have to answer back. I'll tell you a story. Very, very funny story. Even when I leave home, do you know what I do? When I come to church, I go back home. I kneel down and ask my wife, but I thank you for the service. I thank you for the 400 people that came to this service. I've received it. I'm giving God thanks for what I saw. I'll tell you this story. I went for a course, and I told God that, Lord, I want to be an instructor in this course. It's going to help me to further my career. I was very diligent. I got there. I did what I should do. I wanted to be, you have to show enthusiasm, you have to show. So I went there, I did that. And, okay, I'll be done now. And at the end of the course, a woman came to me, one of the lecturers, said, you know, I know I'm sure you want to be an instructor, but the feedback we're getting is that you're not enthusiastic enough and that you're too quiet, you're not really doing what you should do. But I felt that I've been doing what I should do. So I went home. And my wife asked me then, said, how did it go? I said, you know what? They actually said I did so well that I was chosen as an instructor. I'm doing really well. And the instructors are so pleased with me that I've performed so well. I was saying what I saw and what God showed me. Say, listen to me, this is the key. I did so well. I'm not lying, no. I'm working the system. I did so well that they said that I'm doing really well. Do you know when I walked in the next morning? She came to me and said, I'm sorry. I got it wrong. Everybody's pleased with you. Everybody, see, understand this thing. Understand this thing. The tongue is the mixer. Simple. I learned from that. I see. And they made me an instructor. And I remembered, God took me back. Say, remember you used to practice this. You go for a job interview. When they ask you, how did you go? You say, the job was fine. They gave me the job before you even see the result. And listen, every time it happened, didn't it come to pass? I say, yes, Lord, it came to pass. Say, why did you leave that? Why did you leave that? Understand how it works. Be deliberate about your words. Be intentional. As God shows you, say, I surrender to you. You are my high priest. I will only say what you say from henceforth when you've showed me. And I will tie myself with that word. And as I mortar it, as the fire burns, I will stay in prayer till I have a breakthrough. Then based on the light I received at that moment, I will release words directed at that situation. I will go. The next day I will come, I will meditate again, I will get more light. I will break through in prayer, I will release, and it begins to grow and grow and grow until it becomes a river and carries you into that place. I remember, one more story, sorry. I was preparing for my exam. God told me it's going to be by the supply of the Spirit. He says, as long as you have a constant supply of the Spirit, the mountain will fall. He said, who are you mounting before Zerubbabel? Shall become a plane. So all you need to do is to ensure you have a constant supply of the Spirit every day. Then when you have that supply of the Spirit, you break through in prayer, speak to that mountain. But when you get up, after you do that, you go to the library, read your books. This was in UK. I said, I did that. I had 12 months before an exam. I had only 3 weeks left. He said, that is the way you do it. I'll wake up in the morning. I'll pray in the spirit. I'll mutter the scripture in Zechariah chapter 4. Who are you mounting before? I'll mutter it. As I'll pray in the spirit, I'll have a breakthrough. And I'll call the exam name. I'll say, in the name of Jesus, you have become a plain before me. You mountain of plough, you have become a plain before me. I subdue you and I've taken you captive and I've overcome you in the name of Jesus. I will get up. I'll take my book. I'll read. I'll go to the library. I'll come back the next day. The same prayer. I will ensure. He said, as long as you have that flow constantly, leave the rest to me. Just ensure that you break through in prayer and prophesy every day. You go out to do your work, you come back, you have a breakthrough in prayer. Exam came the day, and what happened? It was success. Practice. Always works. Never fails. Father, we give you thanks.